Baruch Hu will say good morning. Let's begin today's daf. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf test 9. We are picking up Ches Amud Beis, and we are picking up, we have a lot to do today, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is sponsored by the Isby family. First of all, welcome back to Nehemiah, Baruch Haba. It's sponsored by the Isby family in commemoration of the yard site of Nehemiah's grandmother, Rivka Kowalski, Rivka Bas Elazar. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama will have an aliyah in the family of Nehemiah. Shkoya. Says the Gemara, Bosei, we're dashing a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says, Umi tzadiki arabim ki kochavim, Kikochavim li olam vayd. So who does the pasuk refer to when it says that they are like stars that shine forever? Elu melamdei tinokos. This refers ultimately again to teachers of young children. So says the Novos, listen to this story. So Rebbeim, right? A Rebbe ultimately again is like those stars that shine forever. Kigon man. So like Amar Rav, Kigon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Well, so listen to how beautiful this is. An example of this would be Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Rav Ashkechel Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Tavakai Beginta. Rav once found Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was walking around in the garden. Amar Lei, Shafkasi Lehimunech. So he said to him, have you forgotten your charges? In other words, that what happened, why aren't you with the children? Right? Meaning, why have you forsaken your responsibility? So listen to what Rav Shmuel said. He says, Amarlei, Hatlesar Shnin Delochazili. I have not seen this garden for 13 years. Vahashta Nami Da'atoi Ilahu. And even now when I'm in this garden, my mind is on the children. So we'll say, so what makes a Rebbe a Rebbe? What makes a Rebbe is that even when he's not with his Talmidim, right? Even when he's not with the children, his mind is on the children. Such a beautiful idea. For Rabbanan Mai, so we'll say, we've been extolling the virtues of Melamdei Tinokos, of those who teach young children. We've been extolling the virtues of the Gabbai Tzedakah. What about Talmidei Chachamim? What about the Rabbanan? Rashi says over here, Rabbanan Mai, Talmidei Chachamim Ha'oskim B'Torah Tomid. Mike Sivbu. So what does the Torah have to say? What does the Psukim have to say about Talmidei Chachamim ultimately who learn Torah? Amar Avina be'ohavav kitzeis Hashemesh begvura. So beautiful that if you want to know about Talmidei Chachamim, like the pasuk says, ve'ohavav, those who love Hakadosh Baruch Hu kitzeis Hashemesh begvura, so are like as beautiful and as brilliant as the sun when it comes out. Quite beautiful. Tan Rabbanim. Gabbai Tzedakah Inan Rasharon Lifrosh Zemizev. It's actually interesting halacha. Gabbai, so remember, we've already discussed the idea that when collecting Tzedakah, the idea is that they should not do it with less than two people, right? We saw the concept of Surara, because since they have an element of authority, that should only be exercised in two, as we discussed yesterday. Now the Brisa says that when the Gabbai Tzedakah are collecting, they should not split up from one another. They should collect together. Now, what's the reason for that? Look at Rashi. Lifrosh zemizeh mipnei chashad shelo yomru ze hagove yechidi daito lignov. The idea is, in order to go ahead and avoid any level of suspicion that anyone is misappropriating funds. This way, if you have two people collecting together, no one's going to misappropriate. Could there be collusion? Of course. As we've learned many times, when people want to cheat the system, there's no shortage of ways you could cheat the system. But the idea is we're dealing over here with hopefully upstanding individuals. So if there are two people there, it prevents anyone from any suspicion of taking from the tzedakah of aporesh. They don't have to literally walk side by side. One could go towards the gate of the city. One could go towards some of the storehouses. The idea being that as long as they are within visual sight of one another, that's enough. Matzah ma'oz b'shuk. Rabbi says, so listen to this interesting halacha. If let's say the Gabbai Tzedakah is walking around and he finds money in the shuk. Now the halacha is, we know from our Ilam Metzias days, that if you find money, you're permitted to go ahead and keep that money. So let's say the Gabbai Tzedakah finds money in the shuk. So what's the halacha? Lo yitnei b'soch kiso. He should not put the money in his pocket. Ela no sein l'soch arnik yishal tzedakah. So what's the concern over here? If people see him putting money in his pocket, they're not going to know that that's money that he found. They'll think that's what? That's money that he collected. And he is taking that money for himself. Rather, what should he do? Ela no put the money into that tzedakah pouch. And again, let him keep in mind how much money it was that he found, how much money it is that he's entitled to. Put it in the tzedakah pouch, and when he gets home, he can take that money for himself. Similarly, let's say again the Gabbai Tzedakah lent his friend $1,000, and what happens? His friend paid him back in the Shuk. Now, when we say in the Shuk, it's when he's acting in his capacity as Gabbai Tzedakah. So, what's the halacha? Lo yitno sok kiso. He shouldn't put it into his pocket. Rather, he should put it ultimately again into the tzedakah pouch. When he comes home, he'll separate out that money. Again, same idea that one should avoid doing anything that looks like he's pocketing money for himself. The Gemara goes weiter. Similarly, Tan Rabbanan. Gabbai tzedakah shein lemaniyim. We'll say, what a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. A Gabbai tzedakah who can't find aniyim to dispense the money to. Halavai. Halavai, such a day should come. The Gabbai tzedakah doesn't have money to, doesn't have aniyim. Partim lachem. So remember, we learned this before. The lashon of partim, if you look at Rashi, he says, prutos shegavu lochin dinari kesef, lefisha prutos shon lechoshes misyald, maslidos, excuse me, machlidos. So we'll say the idea over here is that the pennies were made from copper. Sometimes the copper got moldy. So what you would want to do is, you don't want to hold on to copper prutos for too long. On one hand, it's a good kind of currency because it's easily usable in the marketplace. In this case, the Gabbai tzedakah can't find aniyim. So what do you do in such a situation? You want to unload your prutos. So what you do is you redeem prutos for larger denomination silver coins. The idea that the Gemara is saying over here is that the Gabbai tzedakah should not do that transaction with his own money. Again, remember, this is just an even exchange. We'll call it, 10 prutos for the dinar. He shouldn't exchange the prutos for his own money. However, I'm sorry, partin l'achemir and partin l'atzman. We'll say these are all the same idea. Rashi says, pen yichashtum shepartin bizol, out of concern that maybe he's giving himself a better exchange rate. So just to avoid any semblance of any type of taking advantage of his position, he shouldn't redeem the money himself. Similarly, Gabbai tamchui shemaneh. We'll say another beautiful, beautiful bracha. Let's say the soup kitchen has no customers. So the Gabbai tamchui has what? Has all of his leftover food. So what should he do? They could sell off the food to someone else, but he cannot buy the food himself. So we'll say similarly, when counting tzedakah money, if you're doing it in front of other people, you shouldn't count in units of two, rather you should count in units of one. Because again, out of a concern that if somebody sees you counting units of two, and they don't see you counting two units of currency, they may think you're skimming off the top. Amar Abaye, Meresh lo hava Yosef mar atzifi debei kinishta. So Abaye said in the beginning, so Mar would not go ahead and sit on the mats of the shul. Also remember again, these are the Talmudic forms of seats. So he wouldn't sit, the shul had mats, he wouldn't sit on the mats. I will say, now take a look at Rashi. Atzifi debei kinishta. Rashi says, Machatzalo shal beis haknesses mishum debezabni lemos hakafa. So remember, Hakupa. So remember again, they used to buy the mats for the shul from tzedakah funds. So originally, Abai is saying that Mar would not sit on the mats of the shul because he felt that use of tzedakah funds, that wasn't for the poor, it was for the shul. He felt it was inappropriate, a misuse of the funds, and therefore he wouldn't sit on them. But then after in the Brisa that said that the Gabbai tzedakah, right, those in charge of the tzedakah, have the ability to go ahead and use the funds for whatever they deem necessary, again, obviously within certain parameters, then Hava Yosef. He then felt justified in sitting on the mats. Amar Abaye, Meresh Hava Ovid Mar Trei Kisi. So Abaye says in the beginning, Abaye used to have two different pouches. Chad La'aniyei Dalma, the Chad La'aniyei Demasa. One pouch for communal poor, and one pouch for general poor. Kevan the Shamal Hadam Rele Shmuel Tachlifa Baradimi Avid Chad Kisa Tap of Tess the Asni Allah. So, but then once he heard that Shmuel said to Rav Tachlifa that remember you can go ahead and have one pouch. You can go ahead and have one pouch, and you could stipulate that that pouch is usable for whatever you want. Ihu nami avid chad kisa. He too had only one pouch, and he made the tenai that the monies being collected ultimately what? Ultimately could be used for any purposes that I deem fit. So the Gemara says, Ashi Amar, Ana Asnuyei Nami Lo Tzvichna. Well, so it's actually quite interesting. So Ravashi says, I do not need to make any kind of tenai about the money. Why? Well, so this is amazing. Techoldeka Asi Adaita Didi Asi. Because Ravashi says, whenever people give me money, meaning remember, they're giving me money as the guy by Tzedakah, whoever gives me money, they give me the money with the full license to use it as I see fit. Now, Bosa, you understand, whenever we use this broad expanse of Lashonos as I see fit, so obviously, Ravashi is not saying to buy myself a new coat or to buy myself a new shirt. He's saying within tzedakah purposes, I have the full range of abilities. I have full license to dedicate and to use these monies wherever I see fit. And when people give me the money, says Ravashi, they're giving it to me with that intention. Says the Gemara, Uleman deba'ina yavina, and whoever I want to give it to, meaning whichever cause I see fit, that's ultimately who I give it to. Hano Beitrei, we'll say another interesting ma'isa. There were two individuals, Hano Beitrei Tavchi, the Avdi in Yonabaha de Adadi. We'll say there were these two butchers that made an agreement with each other. Now, here's what's interesting to point out. So butchers, the Ritva brings this down. His Marsh also brings this down. He says that butchers often had this type of arrangement of you get to shecht, you know, Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and I'll take Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So the reason for that, of course, is obvious, because if you have multiple butchers shechting on the same day, there's going to be an incredible amount of waste. Because remember, there's no refrigeration. So whatever you shecht that day needs to be sold and consumed that day. So you had butchers entering into agreements. These are your days, these are my days. So that's what's happening over here. The butchers enter into an agreement, but the agreement has teeth. What's the teeth? He says, whoever goes ahead and shechts on his friend's day, so we're going to tear his hide. I will say, tear his hide is not some type of, you know, cruel punishment. It's kishmo kinu. Literally, they're going to rip the hide of the animal. What happens if you rip the hide? Remember, when you shecht an animal, there are two sources of revenue from the animal. There is the meat, and there is the hide. Ripping the hide essentially says that the butcher is not going to be able to reap the financial benefits. So in other words, it's a penalty. If you shecht on a day that's not yours, you lose the hide. So what happens? So sure enough, what happens? Right, I don't know how long after the agreement, but not so long after the agreement, one butcher goes and shechts on the day that belonged to his friend. Karl Mashchei. So the other butcher or butchers, how many people are involved in this, tear the hide of the violator. So they came before Rava, and Rava said to the other butchers who tore the hide, you're chayiv to repay the guy for the lost hide, says the Gemara. So Rav Yehimar Bashalmi raised the following gash to Rava. We learned about Rabosai yesterday that part of what the elders of the city, or the gabayim of the city, have the ability to do is to impose penalties on those who go ahead and violate their rules. So here, if the butchers have a rule that every butcher gets their own day, and if you shecht on your friend's day, the hide gets torn, why ultimately, again, is Rava ruling against this? Lo ahadulei Rava. Rava did not respond. Amar Papa, shapir avid lo ahadulei. So Papa said, I'm going to tell you, I understand why Rava did not respond. I'm going to tell you, hani mili, heicha delaka adam chashuv. Hello, say, when do we say that the agreements of the townspeople are binding? That's when there is not a Torah scholar in their midst. When there's not an Adam Chashuv, aval hecha diika Adam Chashuv lav kol kminayhu demasnu. I will say, if there's a Talmud Chacham who resides in the city, the townspeople should not affect any level of legislation without his input. So because, again, they made this agreement without Rava's input, and there's a Talmud Chacham who resides in the city, therefore, again, the agreement is not binding. Because it's not binding, the butchers who went ahead and tore the hide of their friend will be liable for to compensate him. Tan Rabbanan. We'll say, this is actually an amazing Gemara. Ein mechashvin bitztakim gabay bitztakim. We'll say, listen to this. You cannot demand an accounting from the gabay bitztakim. Right? Meaning, again, the people, whoever oversees, we'll call them the elders of the city, cannot demand an accounting from the gabay bitztakim. V'lo behekdish. V'lo behekdish shema gizbar. We'll say, similarly, again, you cannot demand an accounting with the gizbar, who is the temple treasurer, in the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at Rashi. In Mechashvin, Lomar Heichan Nechtam Maos Shegavisem. You can't ask them to provide an accounting, ultimately, again, of where the money they collected went. And even though there is no proof, meaning there's no pasuk for this, zecher ledavar. So there is a literally a remembrance, which also means we have a scriptural allusion. Shenemar, because the pasuk over here says in Malachim as well, so we actually just learned this in the Navi Shir on Shabbos. This is by Melech Yehoash. Right, Yehoash was the Melech Yehuda, becomes king at 7 years old. His grandmother Atalia wiped out the entire family. Yoash or Yehoash was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. For 6 years. So when he becomes king, one of the first orders of business is he wants to refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. It's not so long, it's only 1.5 years. If there are puzzled looks, it's only because it's Navi. You know, it's not, I know, there's like this other part of Torah, right, that's called Navi. It's interesting, I'm learning it myself, so I'm in the same boat. But it's fascinating to see all the stuff we have. So in any event, it's only 150 years. It's Bo Basra, it's a Gemara, I'm sorry, I take it back. But it's only 150 years, interesting, after Shlomo Melech builds the Beis HaMikdash, but again, he launches this major, and I will say, here's the great chap. The great chapter. So this is very. So Yehoash initiates this, and what happens? He thinks the Kohanim are collecting. 23 years go by, and the project has not moved anywhere. 23 years. It's an incredible. That's not a simon for anything. I'm just saying. We're going to work in a much better timeline in Meretz Hashem. But I'm just saying, it's an incredible, incredible yisod. And by the way, just as an aside, why didn't it move anywhere? Here's what's amazing. The Kohanim were tasked with fundraising. They thought the money was going to come to them. They did not realize that they had to go out and collect the money. It's an incredible yisod, because the people had to bring back, I'm not giving the shir again, but the way that Yehoash wanted to pay for it was that people owed back half shkolim. So the Kohanim said, no problem, you put out that people are going to have to pay their back half shkolim. They're going to be lining up at the door to pay their money. And what happens? 23 years go by, and because the Kohanim did not go out to fundraise, the money was not there. An incredible thing. In any event, so it says, I'm sorry? That's your Shabbos afternoons.
What time?
Half hour before Mincha. Thank you. So it says, you can remember the following. Because the Pasuk says that Yehoash did not demand an accounting of the money from the people who collected the money. Because Rabosai, he trusted them. Because they were trustworthy individuals. Now, interestingly enough, I'll tell you, this is actually the halacha. You know, the Ramah paskin like this in Yardea. The Ramah says that in the Agabai Tzedakah, who shebe'emunah emosim, who are trustworthy individuals, ultimately, again, you cannot demand an accounting from them. Now, there are two svaras for this. Svara number one is that sometimes the distribution of tzedakah funds requires an incredible amount of discretion and privacy. So because of that, to demand an accounting from them where the money meant may not be appropriate. But there's an asur brought down in the name of the Ma'ari Vail. He says something totally different. He says a very simple idea, mishum dememanu v'lo avdu. Because, I will say, being a gabbai tzedakah is a very demanding job and a difficult one. First of all, collecting money in any way is a difficult job, and he has to collect, and sometimes he has to seize property, as we've seen. If you then put people under the microscope, so I'm willing to do it as long as there's a trust factor. The moment that you put people under the microscope and make them feel ultimately again that they're suspect, no one's going to want to do the job. So the Ma'ariv Yehal says that in order to allow people to ultimately fill this role, we have to trust them. And of course, it's a little bit circular, the only people you're going to appoint for this kind of job are the kind of people that you could trust to do this job without giving an accounting of how the funds were used. So the Gemara goes back to Tana Rabbanan. In Mechashin B'Tzedakim Gabay Tzedak, I'm sorry, read that, says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe Lozer, Af Api Sheyesh Lo Adam Gizbar Nema Masoch Beso, Yotzer V'Yimna. So however, what Rebbe Lozer does say is that even though you have a trusted Gizbar, right, a trusted Gabay Tzedak in your home, whether that means in your home someone managing your own Tzedak money or in the community, Yitzah Yotzer V'Yimna. What you should do is, you should give him bundled units of money. And what's saying, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Yatzar v'yim. The yatzar means literally bundled. Yim, that means counted. Hakasef shumas v'yado afapi shenobad l'cheshbon l'achar mikan yatzar v'yim. Shnav v'yatzar v'yim. V'hadar v'nas l'as hakesam tucha money. So we'll say the idea over here is you should be organized in knowing how much money you're giving to him. So the idea is give him money in units that you're able to track the money itself, even though you're not demanding an accounting from him. So the Gemara says, this is actually amazing as well. I know it keeps getting more amazing. Botkin lemezonos, vein botkin luxus. We'll say, these are very lemaisa halachas. Let's say an ani shows up. An ani shows up. Poor person shows up and says, I'm hungry. I need food. So that Rav Huna says, you could investigate him. You can investigate him to make sure that he's honest before giving him food. But if he says he has no clothing, they bokim luxus. If he says he has no clothing, right? Meaning, or, and we're going to say it means you see that his clothing is tattered, and bokim luxus, you give him money for clothing immediately without even investigating anything. So we'll say this can be based either on a pasuk or on logic. See if you want to say that it's svara, that it's logic. Hi kamevazi, vahi lo kamevazi. So we'll say at the end of the day, someone who walks around in tattered clothing is already debasing and degrading himself. So if he's debasing and degrading himself, we assume most people don't do that for no reason. If this is how he's presenting, we take him at his word and we give him the clothing. On the other hand, someone says he's hungry. So we'll say, again, is that true? Is that not true? I just don't know. He's making the claim. But again, it could be that someone's lying about that. Ibai say makra. The other possibility is this could be based on a pasuk. So let's listen to this. So you go to here the pasuk from Yeshayo. Halo poros l'ra'av lachmecha. So the way the pasuk is written is paros, literally translated means break off from your bread and give to the hungry. Paros from Lashon Prusa. The Gemara, however, is reading it with a shin or with a sin, I should say. So paros l'ra'av lachmecha b'shin k'siv perosh v'hadr havle. So the way the Gemara is darshaning it is halo prosh l'ra'av lachmecha prosh. Meaning, understand what the situation is. Go ahead, halo, prosh, l'rav lachmecha. I'm sorry, prosh, investigate the matter, v'hadar havle, and then give him. V'slimers, v'hasam kas ksiv, and by clothing, what does it say? Kisira arum v'kisiso. When you see the person who is unclothed, clothe him. Kisira la'alter. When you see him immediately in an unclothed state, you should go ahead and immediately give him clothing. So we'll say, this is Shitas Rav Huna. Somebody asks for food, you have the right to investigate whether his claim is legitimate. Someone asks for clothing and you see him in a tattered state, you give him a clothing. Rabbi Huda says no. Both kin luxus, vein both kin mezonos. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says, if somebody shows up asking for clothing, you have the right to investigate his claim. But if somebody shows up asking for food, we both say, then what? You give him immediately. This could either be based on a pasuk or based on logic. So he says, listen, if a person is hungry, that's active tsar right now. He might be lying. You're right, you can't tell whether or not somebody's stomach is grumbling, but lemais, again, you'd rather err on the side of caution and give him food if he's in acute distress. So we'll say, listen to how Rabbi Huda understands that pasuk. He says, paros la'alter, give him a piece of your bread immediately. And the other pasuk says, when you see the person unclothed, clothe him. Right? Ultimately, again, when you see him, in other words, we'll say, seeing him, Rav Yehuda understands means what? When you investigate the matter. So look into the matter, investigate the matter, and then you'll figure out if you should give him money for clothing. Tanya Kava said, Rav Yehuda, we have a right set to part Rav Yehuda. Amar kisuni botkin acharof. We'll say, if a person comes along and says, I need money for clothing, you could investigate his claim to see if he's legitimate. Parnas suni. But let's say he says, I mamish have no food, then ain't botkin. Then we'll say, the halacha is, we do not take the time to investigate his claim, rather we give him what he asks for. We'll say, amazing. Tanan hasam. We'll say, again, what's also amazing about this, you're going to see the way organized communities work. I don't mean that we have an unorganized community. I mean that when you had a kahila system, how tzedakah was done in an exceptionally organized, methodical way. Tanan Hassan, watch this. Another braisa. Ein pochsin, we'll say first wide line test on Aleph. Ein pochsin la'anya over mimakom la'makom, mikikar bepundion me'arbas in misal. So we'll say, if an ani comes before us and ultimately again asks for food, we give him at least the following. We give him kikar bepundion, a kikar of bread that is worth at least a pundion. A pundion is a coin. When, again, relative to the ability to buy four sa'a of flour for a seller. Fine. So I mean, you give him that basic unit of sustenance, that loaf of bread. Lon, if he's going to sleep in the city, this is when he's going to sleep in the city. Nostin lo parnasas lino. You give him what he needs in order to sleep. What does he need in order to sleep? My parnasas lino. Amura papa. Purya, you make sure he has a bed, ube sadja, and a pillow. Shavas, what happens if he's staying in the city for Shabbos? Nostin lo mazon shalosh su'udos. I will say, you give him food for three meals. Tana, im hayamach, I will say, now listen to this. Tana, im hayamachzir ala psachim, ein niskakim lo. I will say, listen to this. However, if the ani was collecting door to door, you do not have to give him from the communal kupa. Now look at Rashi in this kakilo. Let's listen to this. The way it was set up in Talmudic communities was the following. If you were coming to a community to collect, you had one of two options. You could get a disbursement from the communal kupa, right? Whatever that's going to be, communal kupa, or you can go door to door. You can't do both. You can't do both. The logic behind that was, we'll say what? That everybody from the community paid into the kupa. So therefore, when you got from the communal kupa, you were essentially getting from the community. If you wanted to be a little bit more, I don't know what the right word is. I don't call it ambitious, right? I don't know what it is. But in other words, you probably, if you knew what you were doing, could collect more going door to door than just getting a disbursement from the kupa. But the idea says, the Gemara, if you go door to door, you don't get anything from the kupa. Who So there wasn't any. There wasn't any, ultimately, again, who is going door to door, and he comes before Rapapa for the kupa. So what happens? Lo mizdakikle. Rapapa didn't give him anything. Why? Very simple, because the guy collected door to door. So here's the problem. Rav Sama says to Rapapa, here's the problem. If people see you not giving to this individual, what's going to happen? Shimon said, people rarely understand the backstory to anything. So instead, what usually happens, we see something, and we usually construct our own narrative. So what happens? People are going to see Rav Papa not giving this ani, and what will they assume? Oh, they assume the guy's crooked, or whatever, he doesn't do that. What's going to happen? No one's going to give him money, he's going to die. So the Gemara Tzavah HaTanya. But Rav Papa says, what about the Braisa? Rav Papa says, excuse me, Rav Samo. The Braisa says that if he goes door to door, he doesn't get from the kupa. You're right, you don't have to give him from the kupa. Large disbursement. Rav Papa says, you know, anytime, it's very important you saw, anytime an ani opens up his hand, you have to give. You have to give. It's just the need of being a child of Avram Avinu. Anytime a mashulach, anytime someone opens up their hand, you don't have to give them a lot. You can give a person a penny. You can give a person a quarter. You don't, there's no obligation what you give, but just, it's good just for one's own Abrahamic rachmanus. That whenever someone asks, always give. So the idea is, Papa, listen, you don't have to give him a lot, but the guy should help. You should give him something, even just a token contribution. We'll say, now, interesting enough, Ravasi says, a person should make sure you have to give at least one third of a shekel per year. Now, we'll say, now understand, when it comes to the halachos of tzedakah, there are many different levels of giving. So there's, of course, Meiser Ksavim, which we'll discuss, which is trying to give, if possible. Again, today Meiser Ksavim is much more a minog than a halacha, very strong minog. But if possible, one should try to give one-tenth of their earnings. How to go ahead and calculate that is more involved, which we'll touch on that. The Gemara is saying over here, leaving aside Meiser, Gemara is talking about tzedakah. Every Jew has an obligation for tzedakah. So how much tzedakah am I obligated to give? A person has to give at least a third of a shekel. Now, how much that's going to be, we're going to discuss. Now, what this is is talking about is on a yearly level. A person has to try to give at least a third of a shekel. Shene emar, ve'emadnu aleinu mitzvahs, lo seis aleinu shlishes ha-shekel b'shana, la'avodas beis elokeinu. So we'll say again, the pasuk over here in Nehemiah is actually talking about their contributions towards the Beis HaMikdash, and said ultimately again, that they tried to give at least a third of a shekel. Fine, v'am ravasi, shkula tzedakah k'neged kol ha-mitzvahs. We'll say such a beautiful gemara. Tzedakah is actually a very strong gemara. Tzedakah, Shkula Rabosei literally weighs against, which is or is equal to. Tzedakah is so great that it is great as all of the other mitzvos. Shene emar veheemadnu aleinu mitzvos. So Rabosei, the Torah, when speaking about the giving of the money to the Beis HaMikdash, giving the money to the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately uses the lashon of veheemadnu aleinu mitzvos. They established upon us mitzvos, plural. It doesn't say mitzvah in ksivkan, ela mitzvos. It doesn't say mitzvah singular. Rather, when talking about tzedakah, it says mitzvos, plural. The idea being that the mitzvah of tzedakah is so profound. Just, you'll keep it in mind, by the way. It's also interesting that the paradigm that the Gemara is using for the mitzvah of tzedakah is the contribution to the Beis HaMikdash. Hold on to that, because that's not necessarily the paradigm of tzedakah that most of us normally, we would think about tzedakah to aniyim. We'll see why the Gemara uses Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Lazar, we'll say another. It just keeps getting better. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Gadol haMaase Yosef min haOse. This is amazing. So we'll say the Maase is the enabler. Greater is the enabler, i.e., one who enables others to give tzedakah. Greater is he than the one who actually gives the tzedakah. Shene Amar, because the pasuk says, quoting over here from Yeshaya, V'haya maisa hatztaka shalom v'avodas hatztaka hashkeit uvetach ad olam. So we'll say, what's the svara over here? The svara over here ultimately is that it will say, who's the enabler, right? Who's the enabler who goes ahead and gets and enables people to perform the mitzvah tzedaka? Is the guy by tzedaka. It's the fundraiser. So we'll say, why is his schus even greater than the giver? So if you've ever had to collect money, it's very easy to know why. It's an exceptionally uncomfortable position. It's exceptionally uncomfortable. It's an exceptionally difficult. And you have to feel like you're trying to pull something out of people. Beata will say, here's the greatest chav. And this is good if you ever have to raise money. Understand, when you ask people to donate towards something, you are enabling them to enter into Olam Haba. You are doing them the greatest favor. You're not schnurring, you're not saying, give me. I mean, if you're getting it from yourself, that might be something else. But at the end of the day, you are giving people an incredible zechus to transcend selflessness, egocentricity, and to live for bigger and better things beyond themselves. If you are that enabler, says the Gemara, that's even greater than the one who gives himself. An incredible idea. Zocha halo. So we'll say, listen to this. Zocha halo parash l'ra'av lachmecha. So we'll say, if a person is worthy, then he will, his tzedakah money ultimately again will go to the needy and go to the poor. Lo zacha, if a person is unworthy, va'aniyim merudim tavi bayis. Then we'll say, what happens? So aniyim merudim, ultimately again, what's aniyim merudim? Broken aniyim or rebellious aniyim will come to your home. We'll say, who are the aniyim merudim? Look at Rashi. Zu memshelas romi. This refers ultimately again to Rome. This refers to Rome. So what happens in Rome? Look at Rashi. Zumem shalas Rome. Mishet so'akes tamid havu havu shana tzvichin. Rome was always levying taxes. So the Gemara is dashing over here. Rome is like a poor person who always says, give me, I need. So if you're Zohar, well, this is amazing Gemara. If a person is Zohar, so his money will go towards Aniyim. Well, so listen to this very carefully. If a person is not Zohar, in other words, what is the Gemara saying? One way or another, Rabosai, each of us is supposed to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah. So I have a choice. My choice is I could give it willingly. And if I give it willingly, it goes to the right places. If I try to keep it for myself, that money will be taken from me. But the difference is that money will go to all different kinds of places that I don't want it to go. I don't mean that the government's going to take it. That's the example. That's the example over here that the Gemara gives. Right? Because you understand what this is. What's the underlying narrative? The underlying narrative over here is Mizonosov Sha'adim Kitzul Marshana. We each of us have a certain preordained parnasa. And that preordained parnasa is the amount of money we bring in and the amount of money that's left for us and the amount of money that has to go out of my home. That amount is already set. I have the ability to send it out of my home in the way that I want it in the appropriate ways. But if I don't, it's going to leave my home regardless. So says the Gemara, Zocha, if you're Zocha, it'll go to Aniyim. If you're not Zocha, the Romans are going to take it. But listen to this. The Gemara says, however, please, I beg of you, also b'hadi adadi, make sure to do acts of chesed, meaning give tzedakah to one another, in order that we will have peace with the government. Also, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, a person would give his half shekel, and that would affect kapara. Achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kaim. Now that the beis hamikdash no longer stands, im oset tzedaka mutav. If a person does tzedaka, Rabbi Osei, tzedaka is the ultimate vehicle for our personal kapara. Vim ein, but if not, but if we don't go ahead and give tzedaka, but in obdei kocham v'notim bizar. Rabbi Osei, like we just said before, the money's going to leave me one way or another. I could give it in tzedaka, or ultimately I could have it taken from me. Va'afa pikin. Rabbi Osei, listen to this. Nechshav lahen litzdaka. Rabbi Osei, in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, even money seized by Gentile oppressors will be counted as tzedakah as well. Shene'emar v'neog shecha tzedakah. Even your taskmasters will be counted ultimately again as tzedakah. So we'll say, in the final accounting of things, the Ribon Shalom knows the tzar that I feel when that money is taken from me, and therefore again it will count as a schus for me as well. Amar Rava, hai milsei shtayli ula. Well, listen to this. Rava said, this particular following teaching was taught to me, u'ula in this case means a child. By a child, meshagish archase di'ime, so who debased the ways of his mother. We'll discuss what that means in just a little bit. Mishreid Rabbi Elazar, and he said this to me in the name of Rabbi Elazar. What did he say? Ma'i dechsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? That pasuk over here is quoting from Yeshayo, va'yilbash tzedaka kishiryo. He will wear tzedakah. Bosei shiryon is like a coat of armor. So what does this mean? Lomar lacha. Bosei, listen to how beautiful this is. Lomar lacha. Ma shiryon zeh kol klipa uklipa mitzarefes the shiryon gadol. Bosei, you know, if you ever see a coat of armor, each little link combines to form the overall coat. So af tzedakah kol pruta upruta mitzarefes lachashvin gadol. So Bosei, here's the amazing part. What is the Gemara saying? The Ribono Shel Olam keeps a running tab of my tzedakah. So every single time I give tzedakah, a small amount, it's on my tabs that after 120, when I go to the Olam Emes, Rabbi Osei, it's not just my big donations that are there waiting for me. The Ribono Shel Olam keeps this running tab of all the prutos that I've given. Just like the coat of armor is only meaningful with all the small little pieces, so too my tzedakah makes a big impact over a lifetime. Rabbi Chanin Amar Mehacha, ukebeged adin kol tzidkosenu. We'll say literally, this pasuk over here is from Yeshaya again. Kebeged adam is actually a negative statement. Ultimately, and like a disgusting beged, are all of our righteousness. So here the Navi is kind of blasting us that our righteousness is not really sincere. But the Gemara Darshan is in the following way. Ma beged zeh. Just like we'll say, if you have a garment, kol neima v'neima mitzarefes lebeged gadol, every single thread combines to form a larger garment. We'll say so too again with tzedaka, every single pruta forms something. We'll say it's an incredible yisod. Sometimes we might not have the funds to be able to contribute a lot, but just understand every single thing you do is significant, and every single small act is in tzarev. So that if a person consistently gives a little over a sustained amount of time, it becomes something very significant, again, in a metziah fashion, also in a ruchni fashion. Incredible idea. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, why do they call this person? Again, we're going to discuss who this is, but why do they call this individual the child who debased his mother's ways? Listen to this. It's based on the following maysa. So it's based on the following episode. The Gemara says the following. Rav Achtabai asked the following kasha from Rav Sheshes. So we'll say technical shaila. Minayin l'metzor b'meisi pura shematame adam. How do we know, Rav Osei, that a metzora b'meisi pura, meisi pura, Rav Osei, means during his counting days, right? Remember, again, the metzora has different parts to his purification process. There are the days ultimately, again, between the bird offerings to the bringing of his karbanos. So how do I know that a metzora, when he's counting those days between bringing his bringing the bird offerings and the rest of the karbanos, how do I know that if he touches someone, he conveys tuma to that individual. Amarlo, holy umatami begadim matami adam. So let's remember again, Rav Achtavai is asking some Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes responded, because since ultimately, again, this mitzvah conveys tuma to clothing, he also conveys tuma to other people. Amarle, dilma tuma bichiburim shiny. Maybe it's different to convey tuma to something that is attached to you, i.e. clothing is attached. So maybe, again, it's easier to convey tuma when it's attached to you, but it doesn't necessarily tell you that you can convey tuma to people. Taha hisit nevela, tematame begad, nevela matamiyad, because we'll say if somebody, for example, moves an animal carcass, they have the ability to convey tuma to their clothing, but ultimately, again, do not convey tuma to people. Amaleva ala sheretz, what about sheretz? Dimitame adam minolam. So we'll say, how do we know that a sheretz, right, if somebody touched a sheretz, that again, touching a sheretz ultimately can convey tumah to the individual. La mishum dimitame begadim. Is it not because tumas sheretz has the ability to convey tumah to clothing? Amaleva sheretz pejiksiv. So no. Sheretz is explicitly written. What does the sheretz say? O ish asher yiga bechol sheretz. The pasuk says explicitly, if a person will touch a sheretz, ultimately he becomes tami. Ela shichvas zera. Rather, how do we know that if a person touches shichva zera, that he becomes tameh? It must be because of us that a person who experiences a similar mission makes his clothing tameh, and therefore the fact that it makes clothing tameh ultimately again would make a person tameh through touch as well. Amalei shichva zera nami behedjik sivbei. Shichva zera, Bosei, is written explicitly. What does it say? O ish le rabbo says hanogea. Ultimately, the pasuk says, O ish, or a man, which teaches me that contact with shichva zera ultimately transmits tuma. So Bosei, so now, here's the point of this story. Ahadra le bebedichusa. Cholosh daite drav sheshes. So Bosei, every single time that Rav Sheshes tried to give an answer, so what happened? Rav Achtaboy answered him in jest. In other words, he mocked him a little bit. Saying to Rav Sheshes, your answers are not good. What happened? Chalash taitiri Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes became very depressed. Right? Literally, again, he became distressed. What happens? As a result of the fact that Rav Achtaboy caused a great Torah scholar Rav Sheshes distress, ishtik Rav Achtaboy barami, v'is yakir tamudei. Rav Achtavoy, literally, will say, ishtik, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, ishtik Rav Achtavoy na'ase ilay. He became mute, and he forgot his Torah. So we'll say, we've learned this already in many different places, about the severity of causing pain and distress to a Talmud Chacham, to a Torah scholar. So Rav Achtavoy, again, because of his mocking nature, because of his mocking type of responses in this situation, caused Rav Sheshes distress. His having caused Rav Sheshes distress resulted in him being punished. The punishment manifested itself in him becoming mute and forgetting all of his Torah knowledge. Asya ime v'kabach yakame. So I will say what happens. So his mother came. Now whose mother? Rashi says, this is interesting. Asya ime d'Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes' mother, remember Rav Sheshes was the aggrieved party, right? So Rav Sheshes' mother comes before him and she cries before him. Why is she crying before him? She's crying before him to go ahead and get him to daven on behalf, ultimately, again, of Rav Achtaboy. She went ahead and she cried out before him. She cried before him and he would not listen. Meaning Rav Sheshes was not moved by his mother's supplicative pleas to pray on behalf of Rav Achtaboy. Amrolei. Chazi lahani chadoi dematina. So then she debased herself. She exposed herself to her son. She said, you see these places where you nursed from? How could it be? I gave you such sustenance as a baby. And all I'm asking for you is to pray for your colleague in return. And you won't do that. So what happens? So ultimately he davins. Ultimately, again, Rav Sheshes davins, Rav Sheshes Rav Achtaboy, and Rav Achtaboy is healed. So we'll say at the end of the day, therefore, Rav Sheshes becomes known as the Ula, as the child who debased his mother. That because ultimately, again, his mother had to debase herself in order to go ahead and move her son to daven. So ultimately, again, Rav Sheshes is judged negatively for this. An incredible Gemara. Uda'asana ha'minala. So we'll say, the Gemara says, by the way, what is the halacha? Remember, again, this whole thing began with this story, not the story, but this halachic question of a mitzora. During the days of his counting, meaning between the bringing of the birds and the bringing of his karbanos, during those days, does he transmit tumah to another person with touch or not? So the Gemara says, what is the halacha there? So let's just run through this. So Minal, what do we know the halacha is that he does transmit tumah through touch? The Torah talks about the obligation to immerse one's clothing when he's counting, meaning those are the days between the birds and the karbanos. And it says it has to launder his, not launder, but immerse his clothing during the days that he is tameh. Just like we make chiluto, when he is definitively tame, he transmits tumah through touch to another person. Afkan metame adam. So to Rabbi said during Bimei Sipur, during days of counting between the bird offerings and other karbanos, he also transmits tumah through contact with another person. Fine. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Godol ha'oset tztaka b'seiser, yoser mimoshe Rabbeinu. What an incredible statement. Someone who gives tzedakah privately and quietly, matan b'seiser, Nebuchadnezzar, understand, by the way, this type of tztaka b'seiser is often referring to tztaka to aniyim. Remember, again, there's a special element of giving quietly and anonymously to another person in order to minimize their feelings of embarrassment over having to take money. So one goes ahead and gives tzedaka b'seiser, they're greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. They will say, where do we know this from? De'ilu b'Moshe Rabbeinu k'siv ki'agarti mipnei ha'af v'achimo. So we'll say, listen to this. So here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Devarim. Ki'agarti mipnei ha'af v'achimo asher katzaf Hashem aleichem lahashmid eschem. So what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was afraid because of the af and the chema. I was in a say af and chema are two different types of anger from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was concerned after you had sinned about the af and the chema of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So watch this. However, the Gemara says, what does it say by tzedakah? It says, matan b'seiser, he who gives secretly, quietly, yich be'af, will go ahead and what? Be able to overcome af, divine anger. So what does this show you? Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet the Gemara says that he who gives b'seiser quietly, ultimately is able to overcome the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Opliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. And this argues Rabbi Yitzchak, Tam Rabbi Yitzchak, af kofa chema in a kofa. That Rabbi say giving tzedakah b'seiser is able to overcome certain forms of divine anger. It can overcome, we'll call it af anger, but it can't overcome wrath. Shene emar v'shochad b'cheik chama azo af api shoshochak b'cheik. Even though again, shochad in this case, he giving tzedakah chema azo. Ultimately, again, there is still stiff divine wrath. So again, Rabbi say the ability. So is machlokes. Does giving tzedakah secretly or quietly or privately allow you to overcome all forms of divine wrath? So machlokes ultimately again between these two opinions. So we'll say, let's just do one more. Called Dayan Shenotel Shochad, any judge who takes a bribe, maybe Chema Azal Liolam, brings ultimately again incredible divine wrath to the world. Shene Emar, Veshochad Bechek. For Rabbi, we'll stop over here for today. We'll let Hashem pick up again. We'll have more sugyas ultimately with Tzedakah. It is a long daf tomorrow. Alright, so just look at we'll figure out later, but just look on your WhatsApp to see. We're probably gonna start at, we'll probably do the Shari Tshuva at 5:45 and we'll start the daf at 5:50 tomorrow morning. 5:50 tomorrow morning in Mirat Hashem. Shkoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Ne'eman, which is an incredible pagan. Correct. They acted abnormally. That is correct. Yep.